You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Happy about my decision to move to where there is like city and heat and the sun
yes.
and just no snow at all.
Yes.
Although we do have cows.
Cows?
Coyotes?
Oh.
Yeah. Coyotes?
Oh.
Coyotes?
See, I'm from Texas and I don't.
Really?
Yeah.
You said it and I started saying it.
I've heard coyotes.
Yeah, I've always had. Oh, that's what I was trying to say. Did I say it?
Coyotes.
Coyotes. Oh, coyotes. My God.
Oh, my God, Chris.
What did you say?
Coyotes.
Coyotes?
Coyotes?
Yeah.
Coyotes.
Coyotes.
Like, oh, he was trying an accent.
They're like coyotes, but they're like.
But they're cows.
They breeded with cows.
Yes.
That's extra terrifying.
They're like. It's
forget
like.
The, forget the chupacabra. Here is the coyote.
Up in Wyoming,
cows.
It is like the island of Dr. fucking Moreau. I'm telling
yes.
you what.
Moo cow meets coyote.
Well,
meets
I'm Chris. That's Laura trying to figure out what the hell I'm talking about. And that's George.
Hi.
Hello.
And we're talking about the new film written by Taylor Sheridan and apparently the second film directed by him. Although I guess it was a while ago he made his first one.
He made a horror film that no one's really familiar with in like 2012. So he had a directorial debut. But this is his third produced screenplay.
Yes.
Yes.
First being Sicario, second being Hell or High Water.
Yep.
So, you know, he set himself a very high bar here.
Kind of on a streak, you might say.
But this is the first script that he's written that he's directed.
Yes. And this story takes place, as we said, way up in the way windy.
Wyoming.
North, the wild,
very
northern part of Wyoming.
Grim part of the earth where nobody lives during the winter, I don't think, really, except for on the reservation.
It's
I think it's really very.
Right.
It's not
as stated in the movie where the Indians were Native Americans were forced.
Yes,
to live.
Sparsely
it's so,
populated.
It's so cold and so blizzardy, and at one point they're like, "Yeah," and it's August. You're like, "Oh fuck!"
No,
it was a
spring.
Reference.
It was spring.
Spring. No, later oh, he
was talking about
August.
It. Okay. Yeah.
That spring.
Fair enough, but nonetheless, wow, still pretty nasty. And living up there in the cold northern is Jeremy Renner playing U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service agent Corey Lambert, who essentially is just a hunter tracker.
Yeah.
It's his job. He goes out there, there's like, when we meet him, there's been an attack on some cattle, and so he's hired to, so there's some mountain lions that basically now have gotten are coming down close enough that they're a danger, so you've got to go deal with this.
Right, because you can't have them infringing
on humans.
Basically,
when a predator moves outside of its normal circle,
yes.
and it's become a danger.
Yes.
But on his voyage and his awesome high-speed snowmobile to track down these creatures, he finds another track entirely, a human track, and bloodstains, and it leads him to the body of a young woman that is barefoot out in the snow and has died of, like, what happens when you're out in the snow unprotected.
Yeah, pulmonary embolism, I think what it was. Like, the lungs just exploded from
trying
to breathe the cold air.
Good times.
So they have to kind of wait for things to move forward until the FBI, because it looks like it's a homicide, can get a person out there. And they call in the closest person who comes in from Vegas, so clearly not prepared for this environment.
Very unprepared.
Yeah, Elizabeth Olsen is Jane Banner, who is obviously kind of a younger agent, but not like incompetent or anything. Just not really prepared for this type of harsh environment. Fortunately,
she's got the brains enough to figure out that she needs help.
Yeah. And so she goes, Jeremy Renner, in a normal situation, would have been like, well, I did my part, so I'm gone. She's like, please help me. And, you know, this is a Native American woman, and it's a lot of Native American people in this land. It happened on a reservation. So there's complications alone that come along with that, including some degree of resistance from locals who don't necessarily trust a blonde, white, young...
Who shows up in heels without a winter coat.
But as it goes on, it becomes clear that maybe everything is not as simple as they immediately thought it was. Some punk junkie teenagers, but something much more complicated than that. And you know, a lot of this film is And but I wish I could say the dialogue. I'm more about the dialogue, but unfortunately, when you see movies at the Arbor, the speakers are so fucking low.
Yes. Like,
well, it was really low in the beginning. They upped it a little bit, but the mix, I think the center channels just turned down like way too low.
Yeah, plus the, in Theater Next was, they were jamming.
Yeah, the sound bleeds over, so you basically have like a rave going on.
Yeah, so that was
there's like this really heavy dramatic moment, where you're like, I'm sure this is very beautiful.
Yes.
But, I can't wait to watch it again.
That's what I was thinking. Oh my gosh!
Sure, this is very poetic, guys. I'm absolutely sure. It's like the end of Lost in Translation, but not on purpose,
right?
Right. Yeah, no.
I think like as you're watching this, and obviously, Taylor Sheridan is known for just crackling writing, and that's definitely here. He definitely loves to write a Western because all three of these films we've seen are just sort of moved around.
Transplanted Westerns.
Westerns. This very much is.
Definitely.
As well. And builds really strong, fascinating characters.
Yes.
And the movie's focus is clearly on Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, this is all character-driven. I mean, it may be like a, you know, some kind of suspenseful, got a lot of guns and machismo in some ways, but not really. It's just about these characters, which is what he does so well.
I mean, there's definitely that strong,
human,
masculine, Western element to it. There's some great tough guy exchanges and lines here.
It's good stuff.
But I would think that Elizabeth Olsen's character of Jane is not as explored as you'd expect her to be, and I think that's partially because he was setting her up as more of an audience avatar than an actual character in her own right here. You know, she's sort of lead in to get to know the rest of the characters, to be shocked by the situation.
Yeah.
Jeremy Renner, as we see, like, he's divorced from his wife because his own daughter had died a few years previously, also from the cold, although I don't think,
I think it was a different,
say
yeah,
what
they don't
the,
know.
The
circumstances
was.
Seemed similar on its face, but, you know, once, but, like,
yes.
There was much more evidence of
all
foul play
told.
And actual crime here versus what happened to his daughter. But the fact that they were best friends, like, you know, it's just dredging this all up, and it's clear that, you know, he and his wife haven't really gotten over it, that they've separated because of it, you know.
Yep.
Yes. And
it's been 3 years.
But he's still, like, I mean, this is, he's got his son still. He gets to take care of his son when he can.
Right.
But he's still, as he says, when he's talking to the father of the girl who has died, he's like, look, you're never going to be the same person again.
You're
never
going to
be whole.
Yeah.
This is never going to end. The best you can do is just embrace all the pain you're feeling.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm going to go home and hug my daughter, and I'll be right back to finish this podcast.
I know, right? Hug all my kids. Oh, my God.
To call this film bleak would be putting it mildly, but at the same time,
I don't think it's that bleak.
But at the same time, like I said, there's
it's heavy.
It is heavy. It's got some grimness.
Between characters and even comedy that's in here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's all
human.
Of these films so far as screenwriter have been, you know, like, marked by two things, which is trying to find the local flavor and trying to find the humor in the local flavor. So going for that authenticity of local flavor. And then, you know, just, well, same thing, humor, but just being darkly funny in some ways, whether it's just like, I can't believe I barely survived that, or just this is a funny situation I'm finding myself in.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like those two previous films, this really builds to a quite a suspenseful and super exciting third act, even though the first two acts is, like I said, a lot of dialogue, a lot of slow build, a lot of character.
And there's a lot of slow build punctuated by moments of action.
Yes. Yeah. But then that whole third act really, man.
It ramped up.
It's crackerjack.
Yes, it is.
When you think about the investigation, like the actual investigation, unlike most movies like this where there's a mystery, there aren't really very many long turns. It's very A, B, C.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it's character driven, like, that really helps pad it out and make it feel, you know, much more substantial than just being about this mystery, what happened to this girl.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I've seen plenty of movies that are trying to do this type of mystery, like, in a, you know, a strange place, there's a fish out of water character, but they don't work, you know, with this type of slow pacing because the writing's just not good enough for these characters and their dialogue. Here, every time things start to slow down, there's going to be a point where these characters will have a conversation that, as someone who appreciates really good writing, kind of sets you on fire. You're like, wow, that was amazing writing, what I just saw there.
Mm-hmm. And the scenes are, the slow build, as you say. There are moments of silence in this film. You don't get, right. you know, that's unusual, I think, for a lot of films right now, which is a trademark, I think, of his stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, like in Sicario, my God, there are just, same with Hell or High Water, not a lot, it's not peppered with words constantly. And his directorial choice by not having music constantly throughout was nice, too, because then it augments the situation, what the characters are doing, it makes you look at what's happening.
And for the record, what music there is by Nick Cave and Warren
Again,
Oss,
right, exactly.
The Grinderman.
Quite,
and,
quite the team yep. to Nick doing Cave soundtracks.
Yeah, yeah. So, they did Hell or High Water, I think.
I believe that they did as well. I do think that, like, as you're watching this, you're going, Sheridan is not as good a director as the people he's worked with as a director. I mean, this is clearly somebody who's still figuring some of the stuff out.
I think it's going to get better and better.
I would say he's on par with the director of Hell or High Water, which I've forgotten his name. I would say they feel pretty similar. He's not really bringing a heavy stylistic feel to this.
He's not.
He hasn't really, you know, like, he's not really, like, making his mark. It's like, this is who I am.
Yes.
You know,
he's trying to
he's serving the screenplay, but he's not like overpowering it or anything like that. And he's letting the performances kind of do their job.
Yeah, and I think he surrounded himself with a really strong crew, and they did a great job.
And he's smart enough as a writer who knows he's a really good writer to also know as a director when it's time for characters and there to be dialogue and people saying things and when you can just let the camera tell the story.
Right.
You
yeah.
know, when the silence serves it better than anybody saying anything possibly would.
And maybe his the fact that he's been an actor, done so much work as an actor, really helps him with that. Maybe, I think that definitely helps, because then as an actor, they would know that they could trust him to know what they do.
I mean, Sicario was visually stunning, and you could watch that movie without any sound.
Yeah.
And it just tells the whole story a little bit differently than the other two movies.
Villeneuve may well be one of the best directors working right now.
Visually,
him. Oh, my God. I love his style.
So it's interesting that they got Renner from his follow-up.
Right.
You know, and then Hell or High Water, you know, we bring in... Chris Pine was originally cast in this.
But yes.
Renner came in.
It is interesting. Yeah. Somebody pointed out, because there's a brief appearance
but Bernthal,
here,
who was
John
in...
John Bernthal as well. People like... Is this an Avengers spinoff? Because it's got Hawkeye, the Scarlet Witch,
they're
and the
here.
Punisher in it.
Well, see, they're way undercover after the events of Civil War. They're still working for the government.
Dude, couldn't you totally see that being Hawkeye's job, though?
It's
like,
yeah.
He's like, fuck this, and just...
But they're all working in various government capacities or law enforcement capacities.
And the other character, main character we haven't talked about is Graham Greene, who's one of those Native American actors who you've seen...
Like
for the last 30 years, any... movie that's called for Native American actors, generally speaking, he's the top of
he's
the call
the guy.
List, one of those guys. And he plays the local chief of police who, unlike the cliche, isn't like, oh great, here comes the FBI. He's actually like, it really means a lot to me that you actually have something invested in this to her.
Right.
You know, like
that's not the federal response.
Yeah, normally. That's not the usual federal response. You clearly like are concerned and want this to work, and I do super appreciate that. And you're like, wow, that's exact opposite of the cliche we always see.
Similar to the Jeff Bridges' partner in Hell or High Water, as far as bringing that local flavor and the authenticity. You're trying to find that authenticity and trying to get that voice of that person and make him as real of a person as you can.
Another wonderful Native American actor that a little more recently but has been appearing a lot of stuff as like the got to be top five on-call Native American actors is Gil Birmingham as the dad of the dead girl who... has two of the best moments of this entire film.
Yeah.
Sharing one with just Jeremy Renner and one with Elizabeth Olsen, who's just like, he's just, you watch that guy, you're just waiting the whole time for something to snap in him.
Yeah.
And he's and just this portrait of like, dignified
stoicism.
Restraint.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he's so good in this. Now, I have no question that somebody is going to scream and yell at some point, why is the main character a white guy instead of a Native American when so much of this film is about sort of like how the Native Americans have been treated and how they were like by the government, how they were abandoned here and how things that are happening in the storyline are sort of like allegorical to what was happening there. And I think the answer is essentially, well, they didn't think Elizabeth Olsen alone as an A-name actor was enough to get theaters to book this movie.
I think it was a lot about Taylor Sheridan himself.
Yeah.
Being a white guy and being taken in. I don't know. I heard something about he was talking to NPR
the
other day.
Of Jeremy Renner's character, too, is that he knows he's an outsider.
Yeah.
And he's married to a Native American. He's had Native American children. And he talks about his family, and this is what happened to my family.
Right.
You know, and they never try to present it like, oh, well, he has some Native American blood or anything like that. And I think approaching it from that outsider angle, it works for the movie. It does. And the fact that, you know, his role through the entire movie is standing just outside.
Yes. Yep. Agreed.
He's all like, the events.
He's kind of like the guy who's not really fully accepted by either group, but respected by both.
Yeah.
He's a classic American stoic type hero, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a Clint Eastwood or Charles Bronson.
Who
kind of scares everybody just a little bit, you know, just a little bit. But he's the guy who'd rather be all by himself in the middle of nowhere than talk to people.
I actually found him softer in this movie than I think he's been in. I don't know.
Might have just been the volume turned down too low in the theater.
Because he's pretty stoic and everything, but he's also a little bit more caring, you know. I just think of him, well.
So you think he's still a little more wounded from the loss of his daughter?
Yeah. I mean, he was playing it softer than some of the other characters that he has played.
Yeah,
he's still intense.
Sharing that part of himself with Gail Birmingham's character, the father of the dead girl. It's a heartbreaking moment, and it's him like letting that crack of his
There are some brutally honest and emotional moments in this whole film that are just like killer.
Yeah.
So in this movie, you've got the people who are just trying to exist. The people who are trying to take, with how it ends up, but also the fact that there's security on a refinery, so we've got takers.
Yeah.
And then you've got people who are just kind of standing outside, and that's, Renner and then other people who are, they might step in to try and help the situation, but it's interesting seeing the dynamic play out and, reflecting on what that means historically and... Yeah.
I thought one of the key...
There's more there. I just can't place it together yet.
I definitely want to see this again.
Where, like a young Native American guy who they basically take it in as a young junkie who was like under suspicion or a group of people who were under suspicion is like, Renner's like, you've made some terrible choices. You could have done anything.
And could join the army.
Yeah, you could join the army. You could have gone off to college. You could have moved out of here. And he's like, but this place, it takes it. They've taken everything away from us, and this is all we have, and it's just cold, and it's quiet, and there's nothing. Mm-hmm. And he says something like, it's like, do you know what that's like to have everything taken from you? He's like, yeah, but I decided to, quiet the anger instead of engage with it,
Right.
And that comes full circle.
He said, do you know what it feels like to want to destroy the world,
to
fight the world.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, but I decided the world was going to win.
Yes. That was it. Yes. And I decided to just stop listening to that voice.
Right.
Because there was no point.
Yeah,
just
the world's
quiet.
Win.
I fought the voice, not the
instead
world.
Instead of fighting the world, I fought
and
the voice.
That comes back in the most fascinating way towards the very end, that whole little interchange. I really respect it. There's a lot of circular stuff here that's really interesting. I think it's a very well-made movie that definitely is not for your bigger audiences, but I think it's a movie film that's totally worth seeing.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
And I do respect Taylor Sheridan. I think that if he had made it completely Native Americans, then I'm like, well, why are you directing it?
Right.
So I can appreciate him approaching it from, look, I'm white. I can't tell their story exactly. I'm going to tell them my understanding of their story, of this story.
Yeah.
So. And he was sort of taken under the wing. I'm trying to remember back the other day he was on NPR and they were asking him sort of the same type of questions, what drew you to this? And he was talking about his connection with the Native Americans and they had taken him in at one point and he learned a lot.
Yeah.
And it was, and he was shocked when he was, learning about raping and missing Native American women. The fact that there are no statistics, and it was really that's what really started driving him here. And
it's almost an odd moment where at the end, it doesn't feel like it's something that would be there.
Yeah,
it's just thing on the screen. It's like we have no idea what the statistics are on missing Native American women because the only demographic that's not
tracked. And they had tried to find research. He had a guy for 3 months, researchers for 3 months trying to find information on, statistics on Native American women being raped. Nothing. They found nothing.
Yeah.
So this claimed it was inspired by true events. Is there like a specific case or is it kind of like a few different cases he's heard about and he decided to build a narrative around
remember.
That?
I don't remember what I heard.
Because it feels like one of those things where it's probably built around a few different cases.
I would think.
Details here and there. Composite.
But I think, like I said, to address anyone who gets overexcited about why didn't they cast a Native American in the lead, this film is extremely respectful of Native Americans. I found so. And speaking as a white person and not as a Native American.
We're not qualified to make that, but
as best as I can tell, it's extremely respectful of Native Americans.
Yeah, it's beautifully shot.
Yeah. And I personally give this a 8 out of 10 frozen toes.
But, whoa. Oh, I'm, again, not feeling pithy right now. Okay, so
You must be funny about it.
Really, really enjoyed this movie. I found the pacing ebbed and flowed, and it worked with the whole thing. I loved the cinematography. I thought it looked really good. And I definitely want to go see this again. I mean, I have a personal connection with this movie as well. So I'm going to...
Even your hubby would like this one.
Yes, I think he would. I think this could be our date night movie.
Bundle up.
Yes, cold-hearted me. I will take my husband to this movie. So, yeah, I'm going to give it a 9 because I want to go see it again.
You did make me laugh when it gets to the revenge sequences, you know.
9 sniper rifles, baby.
She's like laughing at the carnage.
I couldn't help it.
Like, damn, she's into this.
Yeah, shoot them all. Kill them all. Yep, 9 sniper rifles.
George?
I 9 out of 10 homemade bullets.
Yeah, there you go. Nice.
Really well done. Really beautiful. It finds moments of poetry. It's bigger than just what you see, and it leaves you with a lot to think about. And it's, even though it is grim and it's heavy, it's not something where it's just so ugly you don't know how you can't see it again.
Yeah.
Right.
I appreciate that aspect. Exactly.
It's human.
Yeah.
He didn't make 7.
7. Oh, my God.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to oneofus.net and don't forget your towel.